Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products and so much more. Isn't that right, Joe?
Extremely.
I called on you a little earlier.
Yeah,
you weren't ready for it.
Right.
All right, I'm Andy Cohen, editor of Counselor Magazine, and we have a fantastic show planned for you today. We are going to be talking about how to overcome customer service problems. Kathy's waving her hand, wondering if we actually do have a fantastic show. But oh, we do. We do. Because you know what? We also have breaking news. In the news today, we have some breaking news. So
Ooh. That
is also exciting. I will be delivering that very shortly.
Suspense.
Joining me here in the studio today is, of course, Kathy Houston. Kathy, how are you?
Good, Andy. How are you?
Wow, you're extremely verbose today. Normally, it's a one-word answer I get, so I'm feeling privileged. We also have, of course, Joe Haley. Joe, what's going on?
Everything, Andy. Everything.
Everything and
no,
nothing.
No, just gearing up.
I see
for,
the one-word answers have
just
gone,
gearing up for a State of the Union address tonight. So.
Oh, you are.
Are you giving it?
No, ooh. I'm not giving it. But it's going
to
be.
Could you imagine if Joe gave that?
Joe,
that
are you playing a drinking game during that?
No, I heard lots
of ways to do that.
No,
on radio today.
I'm very disappointed. Usually, I text back and forth with Michelle. We send snarky comments to each other, but she's in Canada. I don't think they'd be carrying it.
They won't be showing it?
I don't think so.
You could get it.
Sure
you could
go
online
it.
To like whitehouse.gov. You'd get it.
Yeah.
I mean, if Nicole was industrious
and
if Michelle was industrious and wanted to do it, she could do it.
She could.
But I don't think she wants to.
She won't.
So, there you go. Nicole, how are you?
Good, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, you offered up some sort of idea for a drinking game for the State of the Union address. What would that be?
Inequality.
Yeah. Pick a word. Minimum wage. $10.10 an hour. Every time he says that, you need to drink.
Every time he says
that. Yeah, that's the main focus.
You want to get drunk?
Really
pick the word I. Pick the word I. You'll get hammered.
All right. Well,
it's not your speech, Joe.
I'm glad we're talking about drinking games here. We're in the early morning. All right, Joe. So besides that, the topic of how to overcome customer service problems, what else is on tap for today's show?
Well, we're going to talk about forgetting people who are in the studio that you didn't mention, which would be Facebook Vinny Drinskull answering your phone calls at 215-953-4979. And, of course, Lauren is manning. The sound booth. All right, what else do we have today, Andy? We have how to overcome your customer service problems if we put you on the air, and we like or don't like what you say. We're going to give you the radio prize pack, which includes a $25 Visa gift card. You're going to get the drinkware. You're going to get the hand fans, and you're going to get the finger puppets.
It really is quite the prize pack. Look, here's one of Joe Haley.
You know what? Lion Circle does these for them, and they put them in their trade show booth, and every show someone steals the Kathy Houston little finger puppet.
Yeah,
I don't want to hear about it.
Kathy has a fan on the road. They take her finger puppet. It's gone within like the first 5 minutes of the show.
First 30 minutes of the show.
Yeah. It has to be somebody at ASI then, at all the shows. I'm going to be on the lookout.
You have a finger puppet stalker.
All right, we have ways to spark your employee creativity. 6 habits of great connectors. We have 8 hidden but powerful Google tools. Google tools, that's all you say, for business. 8 things you should avoid doing every day. 9 traits to find great leadership. We have our favorite things, but let's get this show rolling with the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy.
All right. Thank you, Joe. As I said, we begin this morning with record-breaking news for the ad specialty market. ASI's quarterly sales report is out, and it shows that distributors recorded $20.5 billion worth of sales in 2013, surpassing the highest recorded total of $19.8 billion in 2008. Distributors increased their revenues by 5.3% in 2013 and grew their sales by 5.7% in the last quarter of the year. Further, the Counselor Confidence Index shows distributors are highly optimistic about business in 2014. Check out Promogram today for complete details. On to product news now. California is getting set to become the first state in the U.S. to ban single-use plastic bags from retail stores. The bill, which failed to gain passage last year, has undergone changes, and it is now expected that the legislature will pass it in the coming months. On to general marketing news now. Spending on internet advertising boomed in 2013, according to the Nielsen Global AdView Pulse report, which revealed that worldwide spend on web display ads increased 32% during the first 3 quarters of 2013. Outdoor advertising was the second fastest growing market, rising 5.1% during the same period. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what is hot for today?
Oh, Andy, we're going to be firing some T-shirts from an air cannon.
I love that air cannon.
You love it?
Yeah, it was getting used here yesterday.
And I saw a picture of you doing it.
You sure did. Mm-hmm. My son was very proud of me.
I didn't see a picture of you doing it.
Then you don't follow my Twitter feed.
I saw
CJ
it.
CJ tweeted it, too.
Yeah, I saw it. Uh-huh. And I saw the one of Melinda on Facebook.
Okay.
Maybe you should follow my Twitter feed. You'll learn a lot.
Okay.
At ASI underscore Andy Cullen.
Okay. I saw it, Joe.
All right. All right. Before we take your calls, we're going to head to the phone to have our product safety minute from ETS Express's Leighton Lee. Leighton, how are you today?
Oh, I'm great. I hope everybody back there is warm and safe. I know that the weather's still cold over there.
It is cold, so. But you know what? It seems to be cold every day, so we're not going to complain about it
And
anymore.
It's not minus 20 like right. It is in the Midwest. It's only about 13 here, 17, something
I wouldn't
like
even
that.
Know what to do with that kind of weather. Anyways, product safety today, I think our topic is a good one because it involves Pepsi. Pepsi has been involved in some really bad PR in California in the last week or so because there have been a whole bunch of news articles about the caramel coloring that comes in Pepsi One. And a chemical in that caramel coloring violates, apparently, according to Consumer Reports and a couple other scientific studies, violates Prop 65. Now, we've all heard me talk about Prop 65 over the last couple of years, and I've described how there are about 900 chemicals that are listed under the state chemical list, which is either banned or highly controlled. And if any consumer product contains any of these particular chemicals, you have to either warn the consumer or comply with the regulation. To a particular level of the chemical that's specified in the lawsuit that usually starts the listing of a chemical. Now, the chemical that is in Pepsi One is, I'm not going to go into the scientific name of it because it's rather complicated, but it's abbreviated as 4, the number 4, MEL, M-E-L. 4-MEL is a potential carcinogen, causes cancer. So under Prop 65, anything that causes cancer, birth defects or other reproductive harm must either the product must either have a warning or it must comply, and the product has to have a limit of that chemical no greater than the limit specified in that case. Well, unfortunately, Pepsi One apparently has this 4-MEL chemical in excess of the California limit. Now, last time I checked a can of Pepsi One, there was no warning label on it. And a PepsiCo spokesperson stated that when they formulated Pepsi One with this caramel coloring, it did comply. Well, okay, it did comply at that time. But somehow the formulations have either changed or there's some quality control issues going on that might have increased the caramel coloring content. So what do we in our industry do? Because we might get test reports from our suppliers and vendors showing that our product comply with Prop 61, CPS, CalProp 65, CPSIA, and so forth. I think the tip for the day here is really to get the most current validation that you can, meaning test reports, so that we can be clearly confident that the product does comply with the applicable regulation. I'm sure that if PepsiCo had done some recent testing of their own and quality control, they would have found that the caramel coloring did contain higher amounts than what their formulation called for. So, by the way, last thought, none of the Coca-Cola products were found to have the have high levels of the 4-MEL chemical. So I know this is very confusing and convoluted, but I hope this is helpful. You folks have a great day and have a great week. We'll talk next week.
All right, Leighton, thanks very much. And I guess Coke must have given you a little side payment there.
The cold drink.
I know, I was just looking at
what
am I drinking right now. I've got Diet Coke.
Frankly, I prefer Pepsi.
So do I. Well, this will be in the vending machine, so it's disappointing.
I guess it must be those carcinogens. Adding flavor.
I don't know, but I drink both, to be honest with you. I'm kind of a soda hound.
All right, Leighton, we'll let you get back to your early morning soda there on the West Coast. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next week. Okay, we're going to head to our phones right now. If you have any questions about how to overcome customer service issues or snafus, give us a ring at 215-953-4979, and we can take your call on the air. We have a few callers ready to go online, too. We have Sybil. Sybil, how are you today?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I'm staying warm. Yeah.
That sounds good. What is your question for the host?
Okay, well, this is pretty timely because I just had a client who complained about the imprints rubbing off the mugs they just ordered. So what can I do to make it up to this customer?
Joe, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I would go back to your supplier and talk to them and see what they can do. It actually sounds like, you know, it's a problem on their end. So see how you can resolve that issue, get the mugs back from the client, and replace them. I think that's the best thing to do. Hopefully the supplier will, you know, do this at no cost or low cost to you that I wouldn't, if I were you, pass on to your client. Just, you know, remedy the situation as quickly as possible. Make sure you get mugs that are good, that the imprints don't come off. And hopefully you have a happy client.
Yeah, I think that's something that, a supplier would certainly look at. Like Joe said, the first thing I would do is get one of the samples back from the client and take a look at it yourself. See, you know, did it wear off from any regular wear and tear, or maybe somebody was doing something different and was you know, holding it in ways that aren't normal. You know, you have to ask some questions. You have to try to find out exactly what kind of use the mug was put in, and you know, it might be outside of the normal realm, but get a sample and then talk to your supplier about why it would have happened and how you can make it up to the client. You know, it's should be something that is relatively easy to make up, as long as it wasn't for a one-time event. If it was a one-time event, then you have a sort of different situation on your hand. But you know, I would definitely get a sample and then make sure that the supplier tests why it could have been rubbing off.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, Sybil, thanks for the call, and hang on the line so Vinny can get your information for the Visa gift card. On line three, we have Mark. Mark, how are you today?
Hey, I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
Doing good. What's your question for the host?
So I had a customer recently who had an order delivered late because there's, as you know, a lot of the bad weather here in the Midwest. And I'm wondering, you know, it arrived 2 days late, and the products missed the event. Have I lost this guy forever? Have I lost my customer forever?
Joe?
No, I don't think so. I don't think you lost him forever. You know, it all depends how he reacted to this. And, you know, hopefully your client is understanding that there's been some problems, you know, due to the weather and getting packages shipped from the West Coast, from, you know, Northeast, wherever the situation might be. You know, hopefully that, you know, what you were doing ahead of time is you're tracking that information. If you know it's going to possibly have a delay, you need to communicate that to your client. But I think that, you know, with talking with the client, you know, offering some specials, maybe, you know, no charge on imprints, artwork, whatever it might be. I wouldn't give anything away, so to speak. I wouldn't go so rock bottom, just, you know, appease him. But I think that if it's a good client and you have a good relationship with him, he should be understanding, you know, I would think. And, you know, of course, I don't think I would charge him for that order.
Nicole, what do you think?
I was just going to say, I mean, obviously over the holidays, FedEx and UPS had a lot of problems, and there were a lot of news articles written about people who didn't get their presents and stuff. So, you know, rather than kind of shouldering this responsibility yourself, I mean, just say, hey, you know, this happened due to the weather and this and that. And going forward, let's try to see if we can plan out your future marketing campaigns even earlier and try to, you know, start working on future things to get his mind off of, you know, the event that.
Especially
the items,
in the winter,
right,
when there could be trouble with weather.
Because then the client will feel that you're being proactive, and, you know, then hopefully if there are any other delays, then his items will get there on time.
All right, Mark, good luck, and hopefully you can win that client back.
Hey, Mark. I guess he's going to call his client.
Hopefully Vinny's got his information.
He could share his finger
his
puppets.
Exactly. All right, we're going to pause to hear from our first show sponsor today, which is Hanes, but when we get back, we're going to continue the conversation on how to overcome customer service problems.
Hanes Branded Printwear is starting the new year with a new website. Designed for personal products distributors and screen printers alike, HanesInc.com features high-res product and lifestyle images, marketing materials, videos, and upsell techniques to help you grow your business. Hanes is also proud to unveil the Nano Collection in 2014. Complete with brand new vintage colors and new styles such as men's V-neck and pocket tees, the Nano Collection is a high-quality line of lightweight, ring-spun fabrics in garment-dyed colors. If retail fashion is what your customers seek, the Nano Collection is where they'll find it. Cheap shirts are cheap. Hanes shirts are better. Visit www.hanesinc.com to see the Nano Collection today.
All right, welcome back to the Tuesday Morning Show, where we are talking about how to overcome customer service problems. If you have any questions about how to do that, give us a ring at 215-953-4979. Or if you have any solutions to how you've overcome any issues with customers in the recent past, please do give us a call. Again, the number 215-953-4979. On line four, we have Stanley. Stanley, how are you today?
Hey, very good. How are you?
Doing great. What is your question or comment for the host today?
Well, my first comment is I heard it was so cold that the lawyers and politicians have their hands in their own pockets.
Oh, ah! Oh, Stanley with a little funny
here. We need a
rip
shot
this
there,
morning.
Lord.
Very good.
Yes. It was interesting when Sybil was talking about the logo coming off. You know, this is what I find that we as distributors really have to check out our vendors and really have to know and listen to, like in ESP Online, the rating schedule. You know, if a vendor is already rated as a C, D, or F, you know, that's a big sign. So we start by picking, you know, really good vendors. I have a sign in my office from my grandfather, and people laugh when I tell people this, but it's really serious. We have a sign that says, "Don't fly in a plane built by the lowest bidder." And I think that one of the other issues is that a lot of times distributors, we look for, I mean, I remember my first business partner, she was willing to change vendors over a penny. And I'm like, wait a second, that's not how we do business here. And finally, we track all our orders. We track what's going on. We know the ship dates and all that. Beyond that, when it does come to a customer service problem, I find that you really have to stand behind your clients. You have to, you know, really ask your vendor to help you out. But the client has to be taken care of, because no matter how we talk about it, you know, giving a discount or giving a partial, you know, credit for another order, all that the client, I find, remembers is, I screwed up their order, I didn't make their date. So I find that it's got to be fast, it's got to be really, really heavy on toward the client's benefit, and then just follow it up with really, you know, good customer follow-through, and hopefully you don't lose them.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Stanley. And the idea of following an order through its whole process, you know, not just through the setup and then the initial order with suppliers, but following it through the delivery too. Like we had the caller before, you know, who had a surprise order delivered late because of weather. You need to know that, and it sounds like you guys basically do there.
You know, the other thing that we also do is we have a backup. Everybody usually has two favorite vendors, and when we see something might be happening, we immediately start calling our backup vendor and saying, listen, here's what's going on. And most vendors don't stick it in your face like, oh, why didn't you use us first? You know? But, you know, I just had it happen. I went to the ASI Roadshow, and one of the vendors was telling me, she was thanking me for giving her the order because she was the vendor that was the backup for a job that went wrong because of things that were not of the fault of the first vendor. They just, something happened. And she saved me. And so, it was really great.
There you go. All right, Stanley, well, thanks for the ideas and, of course, for the little humor this morning. All right, stay on the line so Vinny can get your information for the Visa gift card and the gift box. All right, on line one, we have Sandra. Sandra, how are you today?
I'm doing great, and thank you. How do you follow with humor like that?
I think you just did.
You just did.
What is your question or comment for the host?
I have a client that ordered from a particular vendor the year before, no problem, loved it, called me to order the same identical item for a different event. The deboss apparently turned out horribly, and the problem I have is if the vendor in the art department knew what kind of decoration it was going to be and could envision there being a problem, why didn't they come back and warn us so the art could have been tweaked and adjusted before they went ahead with production. Because unfortunately with the DeBoss, your actual output is different than looking at it on paper. So I've got a very unhappy client who I've called three times, who's not even calling me back, and he's so disappointed, and we go back so many years, I'm beside myself. I don't know what to do, because until I get something to show the vendor, but, I mean, they should know what they did. You know, do I really need to get a piece and see it myself, or do I trust my client? That's one question.
Well, I would trust the client that they're telling the truth, but I would also get a piece so that you can have a further discussion with the with the supplier, because I think without any physical evidence is probably the wrong word, but without any physical proof that of what went wrong, I'm not sure that they would know exactly what is wrong and how to fix it. So that is probably the first thing I would do. Joe, what do you think?
You know, I would think the other part of that equation, Andy, is to see if you can get one of the products from the previous order to see where it's different, you know.
Well, it's different artwork, though. So you can't go from, apples to apples. But here's the interesting part. The client's associate who sent me the original art even said to me, I don't know how well this art is going to work. And when we sent the art in, I thought, okay, if the art department looks at it, knowing it's a DeBoss, if the fonts are too small, they should come back and say, well, here's what we recommend. We're going to increase this, and here's an A and a B. And I've had suppliers who are really good do this, and this is a great supplier. So I'm, like, so shocked that I'm having a problem, because usually they come back and say, well, we need to increase this, and this is our recommendation. They didn't do that, and the order somehow just took so much longer than I expected that literally instead of shipping it ground, they had to ship it 2-day service at their expense to meet the deadline. And so it got a little crazy, and I don't know what happened. And I'm just like, yeah, I'll call the client again and see if I can get a piece.
I think you should also call the supplier and try to, talk with an account rep or somebody higher up and kind of talk to them about the relationship that you have with that supplier as well, and kind of say that, you don't want to part ways, but, you look to their art department to sort of help you through the artwork process, which is what they should be there for. I mean, when you're working with any decorator, you should obviously always get samples from them and make sure that what you're sending them can actually be translated into the decoration that the client wants on that specific, substrate. Mm-hmm.
And it's a good supplier. I guarantee they're going to help you, right this problem. I mean, because your client is also their client.
But also, maybe proactively on next type of order, if a client tells you that they're not sure how the artwork's going to turn out, maybe you could discuss that right off the bat with the supplier before they take on the project. Then they would actually probably come back and let you know if it was a problem.
Yeah, it might be a situation where you want to get like a one-off done initially, if the supplier could do it, to make sure if there's especially upfront questions about whether that artwork's going to work with that kind of decoration process, then maybe you'd need to work with a supplier that is willing to do one initially to show exactly what it'll look like rather than just the proof, because the proof is not enough in that case. So maybe that's something that you want to try down the line. But I think you have to, like Joe said and Nicole said, go back to the supplier and really have a deeper discussion about what went wrong here and what's wrong in their process that they didn't even notify you that there could have been a problem. They should, like you said, they should know that there's going to be a problem and should be open and upfront about that.
I'm feeling guilty now. I probably should have been more proactive on my side to warn them too.
No, don't
feel guilty. Get a piece of cake and a glass of wine, and you'll feel so much better.
And a cigarette, maybe. Joe's doing it right now.
All right, Sandra. Well, thanks for the call, and good luck with that client. And hang on the line for your Visa gift card information. All right, we're going to pause to hear from our second show sponsor. But when we get back, we're going to talk about ways to spark employee creativity.
Get the state-of-the-art, industry-specific software that's easy to use with flexible options that fit your business. Get ASI SmartBooks. Combine all business processes into one technology platform that is created for you, designed for the advertising specialty industry, and fully integrates with ESP and ASI Smart Sales. Use this customized tool to operate your business at maximum efficiency. Call 800-544-1274 or visit asicomp.com to get the best technology solution.
All right, welcome back to the Tuesday Morning Show, where we've been talking about how to overcome customer service problems. It's been some interesting questions here
topic.
This morning. So please do follow up with solutions on our Facebook page at asicentral.com. You can find that and offer any ideas you have on how to overcome customer service problems. Okay, Kathy, how can we spark creativity in the office?
All right, well, Method, you know the San Francisco-based natural cleaning company?
Makes
all
the
natural. Okay, well, I do. They offer employees training in improv acting. So they'll offer them a couple of improv classes. And the reason for that is it gives an employee understanding of how small performance details, such as your stance, your body language, your mindset, can help improve creative thinking. And another cool thing that they do is they make each employee serve as the receptionist, you know, at least once, so they get their point of view too. I like
that's
this
a,
one.
You know what? That is a great idea.
I think that's great.
It is
yeah.
a great idea, although I don't want to do that.
I don't want to. You know what?
It's great for everyone else.
Actually, sometimes I would rather be the receptionist.
Okay. I don't particularly want to do it, but I think it is a great idea,
yeah, it
actually.
Is.
And it would be interesting to hear the calls that come in.
Yeah,
I
think
that would be very interesting and probably enlightening to what everybody does.
Right.
Well, you know, way back in the day, if you got a job with with Philadelphia Electric, no matter what you did, you had to go for 1 year and you had to read meters. Now it's all electronic and stuff like that. But you had to read meters no matter what you do, whether you're an engineer, an accountant, in the marketing department, no matter what it was, you had to read meters for a year.
That's yeah,
I like it.
I like it. That is interesting.
Okay, and then another company in New Jersey called Cactus, they make the Hug, which is a device that keeps tab on how much water you drink during the day. But once a month, the company's four Finnish co-founders set aside 24 hours to let their brains run wild. And how they do this is they go out for a few drinks and just basically take the whole day off from work. But they're supposed to brainstorm
how
during
often
it.
Do they do this?
Once a month. We should do that.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
We need to.
Let's implement that today, right now.
We need to implement some new policies.
Right after the show, we are going to do some brainstorming.
And then one more company. Animoto, a New York City-based startup. What do? They do quarterly hackathons meant to spark new ideas from the company's 65 employees. And cash prizes of $500 are given to the winning teams in three areas, most technically challenging, most useful, and people's choice. And a recent winner improved the service's synchronization of images and music, and that will be included in an upcoming software release.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Good
so
ideas, Kath. Thank you very much.
You're
All
welcome.
Right, Joe.
Andy.
You're going to be connecting with audiences next week at ASI Dallas. I understand, have some tips about how to connect with audiences.
Yes. Part of this comes from Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. The other half comes from an entrepreneur. His name is Scott Dinsmore. Does anyone know him?
No.
I heard of him.
Okay. He created a list, too. Basically, it's how do you get the most out of networking. And there's six things here he says you should do. I'll give you three of them. One of them is smiling. You need to smile.
Joe's smiling
because
right now.
Well, yeah, you need to smile. I mean, if you don't have a smile on your face, you could become unapproachable, and smiles are often contagious. If you meet someone who's smiling, you're going to tend to smile. There you go.
Kathy.
Look at her. Everyone's
Andy
smiling
too.
Here. Look at Lauren's got a big grin on her face. All right.
The other Vinny.
Vinny's is fake.
The other thing you need to do is pay attention. People want to tell their stories. Be the person excited to hear it. And I've always believed in that, too, is that everyone has
That's
a story
true.
That if you ask the right question, someone's going to tell you something pretty interesting or pretty cool. I was in the airport years ago, and this older gentleman asked me a question, sat down next to me. We spoke for 2 hours. He did most of the talking, but he was a World War II vet who was a Marine, and, my God, his stories were absolutely incredible. And the last thing I want to say is be open to conversation. You got to be willing to speak with people, not just ask them a question, listen to what they have to say, smile, and then walk away. So you got to be ready to converse with people. Embrace conversation with those around you. Everyone has something to offer, which I just said. So we'll post the rest of these, and hopefully you go to asicentral.com/radio. You read these, and it's going to help you with your networking at upcoming ASI shows.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Check that out online at asicentral.com/radio. Now we have just enough time for the editor's favorite things. Kathy, lead us off.
Okay. Mine is called Shade Mates, and it's from Line of Sight Creations, ASI 6-7577, and they're a fun addition to any pair of sunglasses or eyeglasses. The patented design easily attaches a custom logo or design to the arms of the sunglasses. They just slip on, so they're interchangeable. You could have them for sports teams, you know, fundraisers, all kinds of things.
Very cool. Yep. All right. Mine is a stainless steel koozie, actually, which comes from Nordic, and that's ASI 74245. And it's a great conversation piece for any tailgate party. So if you're having any Super Bowl party or tailgate party this weekend, check that out at asicentral.com/radio. Joe, you're up.
Andy, I have the putter wheel. This is actually one of our finalists at the ASI Shark Tank in Orlando. It's a putting aid. It's for golfers, and it allows you to learn how to properly strike the ball. You can use it in the office. You can use it actually on putting greens. It also comes with a little doohickey here. We're going to call this a doohickey.
This is now called a doohickey.
This allows you to put lines on your golf ball, so then when you're actually playing around, because it's totally legal to mark your golf ball, you'll better set it up, align it, to be able to strike the ball properly. Sink all those six-foot putts. Don't sweat over a two-foot putt anymore. Great for your clients' upcoming golf outings, or if they just take their clients, you know, to a round of golf for the day. This is a great gift to give them. You can find this from Putter Wheel, ASI 84362. Find them online at www.putterwheel.com.
Very cool. All right. Unfortunately, we are out of time for today. Check out those products online at asicentral.com/radio and go to our website, asicentral.com, for more. We'll see you again next week when we'll get a live report from the ASI show in Dallas. Have a good week, everybody.
Peace.